Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Saturday, August 31st, and this is Blood River Radio. I'm not Eddie Miller. I'm Matthew Goodwin, your co-host, and we're coming in to you live from Harrison, Arkansas. We're doing a Knights of the Ku Klux Klan conference here, the National Conference for 2019. We're here for 3 days and enjoying these beautiful hills. Enjoying some great speakers. We're having a great time up here. A lot of people we're going to bring on and talk about all the different things that we've been discussing. We're going to have several good guests coming up. So we've got a great show, don't we, Lee?
Yeah, we sure do. We're at the Christian Revival Center.
All right, at the Christian Revival Center. So first up, first order of business, how's the conference been here, Lee?
Oh, it's been really great to have great speakers, great enthusiasm. Eddie just got finished speaking. He put fire in the brimstone or whatever. He really got people going.
He sure did. I'll tell you what, you know, I was really blessed to be able to make it this weekend. It's one of those things that if you get to experience once in your lifetime, please do it. Because, folks, it's almost like you have to go out of your way now to be in a group of like-minded people, to be in a group of our kith and kin, our family. And folks, this is the spirit here. And in all sincerity, these people, they are looking out for our children, our grandchildren. They're looking out for our futures. And they're actually, they've been working very hard at it. In these hills, they've got buildings being erected for institutions to train and instruct the future generations. They've got housing for people to help find land to help themselves build a house mortgage-free. People, this is the kind of prosperity we need to bring back to our people so we don't have to go through these stinking banks, so we don't have to sign 30-year notes keep us under bondage of slavery. This is the kind of things that these people are doing here, and they need your support. Folks, we're going to have some of the cream of the crop come and speak to us. We're going to have Pastor Thomas Robb. We're going to have his son, Jason Robb, coming up in the second segment, and we're going to finish this hour doing a full roundtable on the future of where this organization's going. And we are proud to bring this to you. At Blood River Radio, guys, we are proud to offer answers for our future. And that's what we set out to do. So, Lee, yeah. I want to ask you something here. How have you enjoyed the speeches?
Well, good. I believe in free speech, the First Amendment,
the Second Amendment, the Tenth Amendment. And they're talking about, I think the next speech is going to be about the freedom political party.
We've got a little technical stuff going on here, so if you hear a little shuffle and huffle stuff behind the scenes, I'm going to go ahead and alert the audience. But I'll tell you what. But what we're going to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to get ourselves straight. We're probably going to music here in a second. I'm really not sure.
Can you hear now?
Hang on just a second.
What is wrong?
What
So, let's go over some of the guests that were at this conference. This will be a good plan. Start out. We had Rob speaker. We had a speaker.
Instruments.
Who was talking about the Bible. And we had a fellow by the name of Tom Bowie, who was also with us out at that fateful day out in Charlottesville. We had Alisa, who came and talked about her personal story. We might even try to get her on. She had a moving, gut-wrenching story. I really would love for y'all to hear it. We've had Mr. Bill Johnson. We've had so many people who are fighting for our future. We're gonna come back
second hour, and we're gonna have the guests on Pastor Thomas Robb and Jason Robb, and we're gonna be talking about the future and what our plans are. So Eddie will probably show up after a while, and he was just speaking right before we came on the air, and so we're trying to get all caught up and everything, folks. But having a good time out here. And
Yeah, we're talking about the future of America and everything. We're talking about the future for America, and there's a lot of good speakers. Oh, hello, I don't hear anything.
Yes, sir.
Do you hear anything? I don't hear anything. Hello?
Hey.
I have no clue why this will. This is never.
Maybe it has something to do with the Wi-Fi.
No, because we're going out that high.
We're going to line up some guests. We'll be at the music here in just a second, and we'll be right back second.
This has never happened.
I can't hear if we're even on. Are we on?
Yeah, can we call? What's their number?
Yeah, if we're even on.
Well, you're getting out, right?
No, we don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, you're hearing, right?
No, we're hearing the echo of that.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. By a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
You know the call, anybody know the call-in number for there? Because I keep calling Sam. He's not there. He's in Georgia.
I know the call-in number.
I don't know why. It shows we're on. Connecting. Record load.
I've got the call-in number.
This happened once before. Disconnect. Record. Load. Let's see. Document. We're dead. I don't know, man. I can't even do that. Right, Nicole?
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Well, hello, people. We're back. We're having an extreme amount of technical difficulties, and we're no stranger to that. We're having to go out on my cell phone right now. We have every kind of equipment up here you can possibly imagine. We were going out on our landline that, you know, like we were like, we run out great guns, but it crashed. Matt's working on it now, trying to bring us back up. Say a prayer, if you will, Matt. Say, is that right, Matt? Oh, yeah. Okay. I got you. Okay, y'all. Here we go. Matt's right. We're going to start the show all over again on this stuff because this is a blockbuster show. So, people, if you will, bow your heads, please, because I'm going to get ready to do the prayer. We always open with a prayer. Almighty Father, Almighty God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you will, please bless us. Bless this gathering of great white Christian saints up here today. Bless our radio show, oh Lord. Lord, you can control everything. Nothing is too hard for you, oh Lord. Lord, you can bring our computers back up just by snapping your fingers. You can just think these computers back into existence. So if you will, Lord, please bring us back up. And Lord, we wanted to do this. You're working for you, oh God. Everything we do is for you. It really is. Because without you, Lord, we're here one heartbeat away from all eternity. So if you will, let us continue to do your work. We're going to finish this show come hell or high water if we have to do it on this. We have to go into town or get on the landline. Anyway, we ask this and all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, people. Now, what we've done, I don't know how much you've heard because we crashed today totally. But where we are, we are up in the middle of the Ozark Mountains, some of the most beautiful territory you've ever seen. And matter of fact, the roads were so rough that my co-host, Lee Cochran, drove us up here, and he dashed down to 25 or 30 miles an hour at times. I said, Lee, kick this thing in the butt because we're not going to be able to get to the next mile if you don't kick this sucker in the butt. So anyway, we finally got here. After we left I-40, you take I-40 west out of Memphis, and you go approximately 20-30 miles west of Little Rock. Then you leave Little Rock onto State Highway. Believe it or not, they call this thing a highway that we came down on. I don't know where they got the name. I don't know how they call it a highway. I guess they could call, you know, a collie dog, a Lexington Churchill Downs racehorse, if they call that a highway. Anyway, we made it. It was we got here one piece. It took us about probably 7 hours to go 240 miles. It's a really rough road. The last 107 miles was rough. But what we did, once again, I don't know how much we went out earlier before we crashed. We were going out great guns, but we're going to do the show. Right before we came on, I gave my speech, my talk up here, and I try not to insult anyone. I really did, God knows. I try not to insult anybody. I try not to get too hot, but I'm afraid I did. But I've already talked to Pastor Rob and everybody else, the guests up here, and they said it's great, that no problem, because one guy even came up and gave his $100 donation right out of his pocket, so he must not be doing too bad. Anyway, we've had some great speeches up here. Like we said earlier, we are at the National Conference, the 2019 National Conference of the Knights, in other words, the Klan, the Ku Klux Klan. They're probably the largest Ku Klux Klan area company I know in the United States. Hang on one second. Matt's trying to give me some vital information, y'all. So we're doing this by the, you know, on a frayed shoestring. Anyway, here's what went down. We met with the Knights. We're going to have a guest on this minute. His name is Tom Bowie, and he's like an oracle up here. I mean, the dude sleeps in a truck. He has a lean-to up in the middle of nowhere in the woods. He was the most brainy. He was like another Thoreau, a Hemingway. You know, he really was. He gave the deepest speech I've ever heard. I've heard all the pseudo intellectuals. I've heard all the dead poets. You know, I've heard the Jared McDonalds, the Kevin Taylors, the James Alexanders. I've heard them all. So it seems like we may have sound back. Is that right, Matt? People, we have sound back, Matt. See if we go out of them. We got sound back, people. So listen, I'm going to go to Mr. Tom Bowie right now because we have sound. I have no clue what's going on. I'm talking out of my phone. So anyway, we were at the Knights Council here. We've been hearing wonderful speeches all day long. The most, and you would not believe how beautiful the children are up here. So let me know, Tom, if we're going to a break. So I'm getting ready to wind my part up. Anyway, we had there was salty. There are Christian people. We prayed. We've eaten together, prayed together, slept together. We just had a wonderful time up here. And that's one thing on our list. We said when we went to Blood River Radio, we said we were going to have we were going to exercise our freedom of speech, the constitutional rights, as like God-given rights, not just the Constitution. And we have had, like I was bragging today, I'm so proud of our show and our crew. We were the only radio show in the United States that's had the deputy commander of the Lincoln Rockwell Division of the American Nazi Party. And they said, oh, that's a, all our naysayers said that's a kiss of death. Guess what? Now we're up here with the Klans, these evil Klansmen. Well, guess what, man? They're not evil at all. Matter of fact, they're almost too passive. I'm afraid I insulted Pastor and the other people here because they were preaching peace, peace, peace. And I'm preaching, yes, peace, but not under any circumstances. Anyway, I'm going to shut up. I'm running my mouth. So now you know where we are. Now we're going to this brilliant guy who gave the deepest speech I've ever heard in my life. His name is Tom Bowie. And he is a hermit who lives up here in the woods. And he has a vocabulary of Emerson. Anyway, and he makes, you know, what's his name? Well, people, we're going to a break. As soon as we come back after the break, we're going to go to Tom Bowie. So hang on to your suit. You're safe.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
As Hurricane Dorian continues to strengthen, it's now shifted slightly, setting it on a course to potentially miss the direct hit with Florida and make landfall in the Carolinas. But Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is warning residents to remain vigilant, cautioning that the Category 4 storm could still change course, and even if it doesn't make landfall in the state, it will bring dangerous storm surges and flooding. Dorian's maximum sustained winds increased to over 150 miles an hour, according to the National Hurricane Center. That brings it close to a Category 5 level storm defined as having winds at 157 miles an hour or higher. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said she's on her way to being very well following radiation treatment for cancer. The 86-year-old justice was speaking at the Library of Congress. The event came a little over a week after Ginsburg disclosed that she had completed outpatient radiation therapy for a cancerous tumor on her pancreas. This is USA Radio News.
There's something out there for you. American road is calling, so what's it gonna be? Hey, it's an amazing day, traveling our own highway. No matter where it leads us, we can smile, cause it's leaning in the mile.
Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Drop the sunscreen and step away from the grill. Dell's Labor Day sale is here with massive deals. Save up to $300 on some of the latest Dell and Alienware computers with Intel Core processors. And don't miss out on an amazing selection of top brand electronics like iRobot Roomba vacuums, all with free shipping on everything. Just call 800-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/Labor Day. Don't miss this summer savings finale. Call 800-BUY-DELL for huge Labor Day deals.
A senior North Korean diplomat berated U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo over his comments describing North Korean behavior as rogue and warned that Pyongyang's hopes for talks with Washington are continuing to fade. In a statement carried by state media, North Korean First Vice Foreign Minister Cho Sun-hui said Pompeo's thoughtless comments increase North Korean people's animosity toward Americans and make it harder for working-level nuclear dialogue between the countries to resume. President Donald Trump's latest round of tariffs on Chinese imports is likely to deliver a direct hit on many customers who were largely spared from higher prices in the previous round of import taxes. The United States government will be collecting 15% tariffs on $112 billion in Chinese imports, items ranging from smartwatches and televisions to shoes, diapers, sporting goods, and meat and dairy products. American households face price increases because many U.S. companies say they'll be forced to pass on to customers the higher prices they'll pay on Chinese imports. This is USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make
Well, people, we were right back. You would not believe the incredible difficulties we were having tonight, but we were overcome them. In fact, we are overcoming them right now. And like we tried to get a fellow on earlier, his name is Tom Bowie, and we're going out on our cell phone because our computer has crashed. So with that, without further ado, we're going to Tom Bowie. Tom, if you will, tell us a little bit about your background. Give us your bio. Where you came from, like you used to be a Marine, I've heard, State Guard, Maryland, you were in Maryland. How did you, and a little about your life, what brought you here to the wilderness of the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas? What brought you to get into the Klan and go right now, Tom? I'm going to hold this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've had quite a few jobs over the years, an eclectic amount, but when I was still in high school, I saw a house. And it was my dream house. And I ended up owning that house. But as diversity was forced upon the area I lived in, I ended up building a fence. And my house became a self-imposed prison to keep out the rest of the world. And property values went down. It was worth a pittance of even what it was in the past. And once it was sold, I loaded up my truck and headed towards a place with better hope. I headed down here in large part, not because of the pro-white presence, but in the equal amount because they had an anti-white mayor in the past to establish the Harrison Task Force. Mayor Crockett's plan to force diversity against the will of his residents on another area just stirred me. And I left a place that had become majority-minority and headed to a new battlefront. Perhaps another voice could help stem the tide of what was coming. I'd experienced it where I lived. Perhaps I could aid in holding it back with my brothers and sisters. And I spent 2 weeks on the road talking to a lot of people because my truck had a simple message that I had committed white flight.
And I saw that truck today, Tom. I saw it today. He's telling you the truth. Go ahead, Tom.
And I got here and sort of introduced myself in a roundabout way as someone I heard lived in the area. I came out to the church on the Sunday, and I was looking around for land.
And what church was that, Tom?
That was the Christian Revival Center where we're here at right now.
And Tom, rhetorical question, who is the pastor of that church and what organization does he head up?
That would be Pastor Thomas Robb. He's also, in addition to being a pastor, the head of the Knights Party of the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, let me say, while we're there, I'm going to be vanilla, and I can't help but ask you a few questions. But let me ask, have you ever heard any hate speech out of Pastor Rob or his precious son Jacob or any of his relatives? Have you ever heard them say use any vulgarity or any type of militant language, aggressive language at all to any other races?
No, he's far more gentle than most people I've ever seen, far more forgiving. He doesn't hold any animosity in particular for anyone, even those that hate him so much.
I can verify that, you know, and not trying to make me look any more like the Antichrist that some people think I am. Okay, now people talk about the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazis, people like that, being aggressive, bloodthirsty killers. Now, of all the people you've heard today, you've heard Pastor Tom Robb speak, and you heard me speak. Whose speech was the most aggressive? And I'm not a member of the Klan. I'm not a member of the Nazis. I'm no longer a member of the League of the South. Now, whose speech was, if you had to say someone was more aggressive, in comparison, who would have been the most aggressive?
I would say you were.
So, I won't belabor the point. So, and I want to belabor the point because our people learn by repetition just like I do. But the point I'm saying is I've never heard this man. And matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and lay down the line. I got kind of frustrated today. I said, that's not me. The message being preached, I'm not a peacenik. I said, I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior at heart. So Pastor Rob is as far from being aggressive as you can possibly think. And matter of fact, he'd be closer to a peacenik than I would. I mean, not the peacenik, but not in a bad way. But he's hardcore Christian. I would say he practices the message of Jesus more than I do. And he preaches the second greatest commandment, which is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And back with that, Tom, am I right? And I'm going to turn back to you. Am I right or wrong? Is that a fair statement that I made?
It's a very fair statement. Pastor Tom Robb, he in many ways helps still the anger that many of us feel about what's been forced upon us. He's changed his things. He believes to spread the message, to save as many people as possible. His job is like the medic in the army. He's just as much danger as any soldier, but he's not there for combat. He's there to save, in this case, souls.
I can amen that. Anybody that knows me, my background, I can amen that. But continue on. Tom, I wish y'all could have heard Tom's speech. Of all the speeches I've ever heard, including the ones today, his was head and shoulders the most brainy. I mean, you would not believe how intellectual this guy is. Anyway, going back to that, Tom, continue on.
He helps people. He does what every pastor has always done, but he does it from a pro-white perspective, from a perspective that's healthy. He does it for his people. He doesn't abandon his own people to go preach to someone else. He takes care of his own first.
Oh, he takes care of his own flock. He doesn't. In other words, he doesn't go try to take over somebody else's flock.
No.
He takes care of his own, so he loves his flock. He doesn't. So what you're saying, and if I'm wrong, you correct me, Pastor Rob loves his own flock more than he loves the flock 500 miles from here, say down in, in Dalton, Georgia, or Harlem, New York, or the Orange Mountain, Memphis, Tennessee. He loves his flock more than he loves them. Is that right?
Yes, although some of his flock is actually probably in some of those places. Through the miracle of the internet, he can do it long distance.
I got you. So what he does, he doesn't go meddling around, in other words, what I'm taking this from. He is a straight-up Christian, and let me ask you this. Now, what I heard in his speech, it seemed to me, I would say he's probably preaching the King James Version Bible. Would you say that he is a straight-up Bible-believing Christian? Would you a Bible-preaching Christian, Tom?
To a large extent, yes. He tries to teach what was the original intent of the Bible. Modern Christianity, as it pretends to be still the same, has become polluted, and he tries to go back to the source, a belief that many of our ancestors had before political correctness became the religion of the land.
Well, I'll tell you what, everything that you have said, Tom, I can second and third that myself. Well, let me ask you this, Tom. Let's expand upon where we're going. Why? Give me some reasons why did you know that Pastor Rob was the head of the Knights Council when you joined the church? And did you know that, or did you find that later after you joined the church?
Oh, I knew it in advance. I know it mainly from the anti-white screaming. But you have to take everything they say with more than a grain of salt. You need the whole 50-pound bag.
Oh, okay. Well, that's right. It's funny you said that because I always say that about myself. You can't take me with a grain of salt. You take me with a whole 50-pound bag of salt. That's for darn sure. Besides Tom giving the most brainy speech in my whole life that I've heard, and I've been to a lot of talks, we had a lady here. I didn't cry. I usually do it, but she gave a spellbinding talk. We're going to get her on next. She's such a precious lady. Her life, I thought I had a hard life. My God, hers makes mine look like I was born, the Prince of Little Lord Fauntleroy or something. But But anyway, we're getting ready to bring. Tom, thank you so much for coming on. We've got to go to the break right now. And we're getting ready to bring another dynamite guest on. She's a lady, and she is just incredible. And her name is Lisa. She's going to come back on up here. Lisa, come on over, sit down. We'll be right back. Come on.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that will preserve the vanishing resource of the American cowboy. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery that celebrates our history, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Range Magazine also features great holiday gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. You can order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, and you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
There ain't no punks up here where we are. Clint Eastwood had to deal with them back in his day, but there ain't nary a punk with guts enough to come to this land here. Anyway, listen, people, you have the background. We told you earlier. We haven't gone on the phone, but thank God the sandwiches kids, they're ISIS, and this ain't our first time to experience stuff like this. So we're getting ready to go right back to this precious, precious lady. I want her to, before she tells you her story that she told that had everybody in tears, I want her to, I'm going to ask her a few questions. And her name is Lisa, and Lisa's from Texas. Lisa, how long have you been in the Knights?
Officially about 5 years, but I'm a fourth generation Klansman.
No kidding. Well, let me ask you this. How many generations have you been in Texas?
All my life.
So you are, don't mess with Texas, girl.
Yeah, I am all my life, born and raised, all my ancestors since the late 1700s.
Have you ever ridden in a rodeo?
No, I haven't.
You intend to ride in a rodeo?
No, I do not.
Well, are you sure you're technically correct? I don't know. Well, he got boots, so that's half the battle. Well, I'll tell you what, I have no doubt in my mind. Lisa Goodright, if you would. Lisa, you said your generations, how many, four generations of the Klan?
Four.
Okay, now who was your ancestor? Well, great-grandfather?
It would be my great-great-grandfather unofficially, but then my great-grandfather officially.
So, I know it'd be rare if you could speak now. So then your great-great-grandfather, your great-grandfather, your grandfather, you probably know your grand. You probably dealt with your grandfather.
He died before I remember him.
Okay, how about your father?
Yeah, my father, it skipped a generation with him, but I was raised in a racially aware household.
Oh, great, great. Okay, now, so you've been pretty much in the Knights all your life then?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you never get out? Did people call you a racist and a hater? Have you ever been called that before?
Daily. I'm called that daily.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this. I know this may be a rhetorical question. Lisa, do you hate yourself for being white?
No, I love my skin. I wouldn't want any other color.
Don't you realize that you're... all the powers and all the differences of the world are all the problems of the world are your fault because you're white, and you know you should hate yourself. But that's what we're told all the time.
It is exactly what we're hated for, but we are the reason this world is as great as it is. So I'm not ashamed of anything.
Okay. Well, let me ask this. What would you think? What is the number one reason? What is the best virtue of being in the Klan that you can think of?
It's the fellowship with fellow white people that are like-minded, and it's a place to come, and it's a safe spot that I don't ever have to be ashamed of being white.
Do you attend church services at home anywhere?
No, I am spiritual, but I don't attend church.
Are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
So do you do believe in God and as the God of the Bible as taught in the Bible? So and you attended church here today, I know. What did you think of the church here today and Pastor Rob and his son Jacob and the other guests?
I love Pastor Rob and I love Jason and I love the whole family, my whole Klan family. They're all really important to me. And I love coming to church because I think Pastor Rob, he tackles the racism with such grace, and he loves every single one of us, not just whether we're Klansmen or not.
You know, in some ways, I wish I could be more like Pastor Rob because we're totally different from him. We're getting ready to get her. So before we get to your story, because we've got to keep you a while. Now, you've heard Pastor Rob. Let me ask you, how long have you known Pastor Rob?
5 years.
I'm a prosecutor. I'm building case here. I'm a defense attorney. You've known him for 5 years.
5 years.
How long have you? So you've known Jason for 5 years.
5 years.
And you've known his family. And I'm not trying to put your words in the mouth, though, like a prosecutor or a defense attorney would say. So you've known this family for 5 years.
Yes.
And you've dealt with them. Have you ever heard them? You heard my speech today, Lisa.
Yes.
If you had just, and I'm not saying... You've heard other speeches today. How would you rate his speech as being loving, Christian, godly? How would you rate it?
Pastor Rob is probably the most godly preacher, minister, or Christian that I've ever known, maybe aside from my grandmother. But he is very loving. And he doesn't hate other races. None of us hate other races. We're separatists. We're not supremacists.
Okay. And just like other races are separatists, just like the state of Israel, the entire country of Israel is separatist. Now, I know my co-host Matt's anxious to hear the story. I am too, but I didn't want to get rid of you very soon because you're enthralled today. Lisa, if you will, and if you people don't cry here listening to you, tell us, relate this tragic story to us. Tell us that you heard about a little girl. Tell us that story.
You need to read it?
Yeah, please. Lisa's going to tell you something about a little girl she knew. So get your napkins, your Kleenex ready, because there's going to be some tear shed, folks. Go ahead, dear.
It was a cold and rainy night in late November as her father stood near the door of the busy liquor store holding his six-month-old daughter. He had no money, so he crooned to each customer as they walked to the door. "Hey, buddy, can you buy me a bottle of whiskey?" No one even looked at him, and soon he realized that that was getting him nowhere. And he approached the next customer and said, "I'll give you this kid if you'll buy me a bottle of whiskey." The man he approached bellowed at him, "No, you can go to hell." And he shoved the father hard against the front of the building and walked on inside. The father asked the same of the next few people, "If you buy me some whiskey, you can have the kid," with no success. He became angry and disgusted with the refusals from customers, so he loaded the child in the car and drove to the police station in the next town. He walked in the station door and roughly slammed the child onto the counter and said to the dispatcher on duty, "You can take her. I can't get nothing for her." He gave the dispatcher his name, turned his back on the child lying on the counter, and walked away and did not look back. The dispatcher stood looking at the crying baby on the counter and thought, "What in the world am I going to do with a throwaway baby at this time of night?" She laid the baby on the desk beside her switchboard and tried to calm her. The child was hungry and cold and filthy. She was wearing only a much-used diaper in November, no blanket, no clothes. She had a creepy, rattling cough, and her hair was matted from spit-up. She was covered in feces, and countless old and fresh cigarette burns dotted her small body. Gladys was the dispatcher that night, and she thought of a young couple that she went to church with and knew they'd had several miscarriages, so she decided to call them. "Hello?" answered a sleepy and worried voice. "Vernon, it's Gladys Carroll at the police station. Somebody just dropped off a baby girl up here. Would you and Helen like to come get her?" A brief silence as he spoke to his wife, and he returned to the phone. "Yes, ma'am, we'll be right there." They called a neighbor that had some old diapers and bottles and clothes, so they borrowed them, and by midnight they had picked the child up and were on their way home. Once they got in the house, they examined her. She was too filthy to put on the bed, and some of the burns were infested, so they bathed her and dressed her as best they could, fed her, and laid her down to sleep. During the night, the child began coughing and soon stopped breathing. They called the local doctor and asked him to come quickly. While they were waiting on him, the child's lips turned blue, and soon she was blue all over, and this child was dead. The doctor arrived within a few minutes of the phone call and began working on the baby. He was able to clear her airway and revive her. She had pneumonia and severe skin infections and was literally starved. By the next November, they had adopted this child, and she was loved and cared for at last. You can fast forward 13 years. Same little girl, now 14, and a freshman in high school. There was a black boy that sat behind her in class and kept touching her back and her hair. And she ignored him, but he persisted. One day, he stole her book, and she asked for them back. And he laughed and said, "I'm just messing with it. I'll give them back to you. They're in Mr. B's room on the desk. Go get them during lunch." She walked into the dark classroom. From the hall light, she could see a stack of books on the desk. So she walked the few feet in to get them and was ambushed by the black boy. He tackled her to the floor of the classroom. He raped her on the floor in the dark classroom located in the empty building. No one to hear her scream and no one to help. For days, she bled and she hurt. She eventually healed physically, but she didn't heal mentally. She never told anyone, not in the school and certainly not her parents. The black boy bragged about having sex with her to his friends, and it eventually got around school. He was labeled a conqueror and she was labeled a whore. Her life was suddenly and forever changed. Fast forward again 15 more years. This same girl is now a wife and mother and graduating nursing school. 2 weeks after graduation, her 2-year-old son is in a car with his father that was hit head-on by a drunk driver. The driver was black. He had 4 DWIs, 2 convictions, and also tested positive for cocaine, and he was driving a company vehicle. The child had massive head injuries, and his heart stopped beating twice while waiting on the ambulance. After he gets to the hospital, they have to perform a craniotomy and remove the entire...
Lisa, we're going to hold you over there. We're going to go to a break. We're going to hold you over to segment 2 because the people, you have to finish hearing this story. So we've got to go. So come right back. But this is a long break. We're transitioning to the next time. We'll be right back.